Good morning, God. Morning, Herb. Well, God, I've been thinking. Yeah? I've been thinking that I'm a very blessed fellow. Well, that's true. I'm a very blessed fellow because I like me. Couldn't have said it better myself. What do you mean, God? You couldn't have said it better yourself. Well, if I say I like me, then everything is right with my world. And I'm happy, I'm content, and I experience everything that is my choice. But God, how can you experience everything that is your choice when you are everything? Well, it's just a matter of speaking, I guess. What do you mean you guess? God doesn't guess. Well, that's true. That's true. Interesting that you caught on. Well, you know, God, I'm really paying attention. I'm really listening very carefully to whatever my inner tells me, whatever you and my divine inner self tell me. I listen very carefully, and when I hear some language that doesn't fit, I stop myself and say, what's this all about? Yeah? And do you think that God ever says anything without purpose? No. And do you think that God ever says anything to challenge you? No. You're right. God never says anything inside of you to challenge you. But why is it that I hear something that isn't right? Why is it that you hear something that isn't right, Herb? I hear something that isn't right. I guess because maybe it's because how I hear it. That's an interesting way to say it, but that's true. You hear with your ears and your heart and your mind, and because you hear with this conglomeration, you sometimes get a misinterpretation. And when you get a misinterpretation, then you guide your thinking based upon the misinterpretation, and then you are in trouble. Well, God, aren't you supposed to help me? Aren't you supposed to help keep me on the straight and narrow path? Because that's what I'm asking for. That's what I want to do. Well, Herb, the day that you want to stay on the straight and narrow path, you're not going to ask me. Oh, what do you mean, God? Aren't you the straight and narrow path? No, I am all paths. I am all paths, and anybody who wants to walk on any path is walking on my path. Even bad stuff? Well, why would anything be called bad when everything is me? Well, even things that are not beneficial. Well, why would anyone do anything that's not beneficial for themselves? Well, trying to impress somebody else, or they think that that's the thing that they should do? Yes, that's misinterpretation, isn't it? How do you mean misinterpretation, God? Well, would I ever want anything to happen in my world which was not a blessing? Would I want anything to happen in my world which was not something that was a benefit for whatever it was that it was being done for? Well, I would think not. But what about a volcano? And what about earthquakes? And what about the tectonic plates that float back and forth across the earth and wash it off now and then? What about those things? Yeah? What about those things, Herb? Well, aren't they not nice to the people that they hurt? No. No, the people that they, so you call hurt, are people who created them happening to them. Oh, God. People create calamities happening to them? Yes. It takes quite a while to build up for the calamity, but they create it. They create it by continually thinking thoughts of limitation, continually thinking thoughts of hatred toward another person or a group or a community, continually thinking thoughts of unhappiness. And these thoughts bear fruit as the calamities. Oh God, if that's true, why don't we train people not to do that? Well, how do we go about training people, Herb? What do you think we should do? Well, we should tell them. Tell them that their thoughts are making their world in a big mess. And, Herb, do you think telling people that their thoughts will make a big mess, that's going to help them change their thinking? Well, not really. And why not really? Because people want to be the way they want to be. Well, why would a person ever want to hurt himself? Well, he doesn't think of it as hurting himself. He just thinks of it as doing his whatever he wants to do. He doesn't realize by hate he brings about harm to himself. By confusion he brings about unhappiness in his life. By speaking poorly about anyone else, including himself, he brings poor attitudes and poor experiences into his life. Well, how would you go about telling humanity that that's what they're doing here? Do you have an idea? Oh, God, I think when I come right down to it, I can only do one thing. Yes, I can only do one thing, God. I can only live my own life as beautifully as I understand it to be lived. Excellent, Herb. Excellent. When you live your life so completely, so fully, so beautifully, then you will create about you a world of harmony and peace and love. And any appearance or illusion of anything different than that will fade away and no longer be in your world. Is it just that easy, God? It's just that easy. Well, why don't I do it, God? Well, you make some false starts now and then. You say you're going to do it, and then you fall back into the same trap that humanity falls in. You fall in the trap of thinking it's fun to be sick. You think it's fun to have problems. You think it's fun to experience things that are difficult. But God, who in their right mind would ever do that? Well, maybe that's a good statement. Who in their right mind would ever do that? People do that because they're looking for excitement. Why would you go to a horror movie if you knew the horror movie was going to make you feel unhappy later on, give you bad dreams? Well, why would you go to wrestling matches or fighting matches where aggression is being demonstrated wholesale, and you get in there and you join them shouting, kill them, down with them, you join right into the melee as much as if you're doing the wrestling yourself, and the wrestlers, they don't hurt themselves because they know how to handle it, and that's a show they put on. But they put on a show so you, the audience, can be the real show, shouting and screaming and hollering and getting right in there and putting on a big deal. But God, that's fun. Oh, okay. If that's our definition of fun, then perhaps we have to rethink what fun really means. What does fun really mean, Herb? Well, fun means something that sort of takes us out of our mundane life and puts a little bit of humor and a little bit of joy into living. Oh, is that what it means? Okay. Well, God, what do you think fun means? How do you describe it? Well, I describe fun as that activity that makes you happy and fulfilled, and makes you happy and fulfilled under all circumstances. Well, what do you mean by that? That's hard to understand. Well, for me as God, anything would be fun for my creation, which left them feeling joyful and happy and rewarding. No other emotions would enter in. No feeling of retaliation, no feeling of envy, no feeling of upsetness over anything, over somebody having it and others not having it. Oh yes, that happens often. And people play that game and they wonder why it's happening. And it's happening only because they are jealous of somebody else. Jealousy takes happiness away. All these things that keep us from being who we are, they take our joy away from us. They take our fun away from us. And they make it the work of unhappiness. But God, we know that. We know that, and yet we still go ahead and do it. We take our head and we bang it against the wall, even though we know it's going to hurt us more to bang our head against the wall than it is to get that frustration out of us. Yes, that's true. And since you bring up frustration, Herb, how do you get rid of frustration? Well, I find that when I unconditionally love myself and others, I have no frustration whatsoever. I have no anxiety. I have no feelings of being incomplete in any way. Well, Herb, that's pretty good, wouldn't you say? Oh, very good, God, very good. Yes, not having frustration is very good. Not having anxiety and tension is very good. Well, you can live this in your life by living at peace with yourself and at peace with your world. See all the world surrounded, enfolded in your pure white light of love, your peace light, and see that it is done. Now, you don't look for someone else to appreciate what you're doing. You don't look for someone else to do what you're doing. You just do it. And as you do it, the world will sparkle to you. If you walk through a field, and you're walking through this meadow all by yourself, and as you walk along, it's silent. And then you start saying, I like me, I like me, I like me. Or you sing a song, and you're enjoying your walk. Pretty soon, you notice that there are birds singing in the field. You didn't even know they were there. Pretty soon there are birds flying in the air. You didn't know they were there. Pretty soon you see people having a picnic and laughing and delighting and rolling in the meadow in the field, just having fun rolling down the hill, being a child. You see all these things, you hear all these things, they were there all the time, but you were not harmonious to hear them. You were not having them in your world. And they were there all the time. You see, we create the world about us. We create the world about us by our thoughts. And when you have loving thoughts as you're walking through life, you'll be surrounded by loving people, loving circumstances, and loving world. And if you have thoughts of the horror movie or anything else that keeps you from being at peace, then you'll have thoughts of of distress and unhappiness, and you'll create that all about you. When you have thoughts of love, you walk through the world and there is no war. When you have thoughts of war, you walk through the world and everyone is in conflict with everyone else. Your thoughts alone generate your world alone. And all around you, if you have thoughts of peace, there is peace. The peace is always there, it always was there. It had to be your thoughts that brought them forth into recognition of happening. There is always conflict, there is always war, and our thoughts merely make us aware of them. And we can be aware of peace, or we can be aware of war. People who live on a volcano, knowingly living on a volcano, are living there because they have so much vituperation they want to express, so much unhappiness, so much anger, so much ugliness. And you say, well, there's a lot of good people living on the volcanoes or living near there. Well, that's good. Now ask yourself the question, do they have to live there? Why do they live there? Do they have to live there? Is living there a very important thing? Well, apparently. Apparently living there is very important because it's an expression of what's going on inside of them. It's an expression of what's going on in their heart. But they're nice people. They're philosophers. They're mothers and fathers. They're families. They're children. And they're... Yes, that's right. And every one of them live there by choice. Well, they had no other home. They had no other place to go. Many people have no other place to go, and still they go there. Many people leave wherever they are, and with no greater reason, just because they wanted to go. We do not have to have in our world any experience that we don't want. If we want an experience of healing and wholeness, then we talk about healing and wholeness. We talk about perfection. Our every word, our every thought, our every idea is our perfect body. We take a walk through our meadow and we think wholeness. And we look around us and we see healthy animals playing in the field. We see healthy children running in the field. We see healthy birds flying in the air. Everything we see is healthy. And that is our choice. And if we walk through that same field, we will find wounded birds. We'll find unhealthy circumstances. We'll find disease, and we'll find other things that are not pleasant to behold because they were in our thought. They were in our mind. Whatever we experience is what we have chosen. Well, God, why can't it just all be nice and all be wonderful and have the world all be Pollyanna, be all loving and caring and unconditional love? Why can't all the world just be that way? Why does there have to be any unhappiness or any illness or any sickness or death anywhere? Why, God, why? And the divine within us sits silent. The divine within me sits silent. I say, why, God? And the silence continues. Why, God? And the silence continues. And then it speaks and says, now you see. You can tell these people the truth and show them a better way. And they don't want to follow. The people who are living on a volcano could see the volcano at peace, see all their world at peace, and so it would be. But people who are living on a volcano that is active have all their world in turmoil most of the time. All of their feelings in turmoil, all of their unhappiness spread out before them, spread out before all the world, and encouraging it to be throughout all the world. What an interesting experience. What a limiting experience. But it's their choice. But God, you should do something about that. You shouldn't let that sort of thing rule the world. You should sort of erase all negative attitudes and erase all negative feelings and erase all emotions that are out of control. Erase all these things. Well, Herb, that sounds good, but I've given humanity freedom of choice to do anything they want to do. And they are now doing whatever they want to do. Humanity does not have free will, but it has freedom of choice. Free will means it could be anything that it wants to be. And that's not true. It cannot be anything it wants to be. It already is divine, it already is me, it already is the all. And the freedom of choice is that it can use any part of that allness that it wants to use. It can use the allness from the happiness, from the fulfillment of what it is, if it chooses, or it can use the limitation. Either way, it's perfectly acceptable. Either way, it's perfectly okay with me, because I look at all as good and very good. I look at all without limitation. I look at all as divine. But God, really, maybe that's what I'm here for. Yeah, maybe that's what I'm here for. Maybe I'm to be the peacemaker. Maybe I'm to carry on where Jesus left off so many years ago. To carry on and go out and be the way, the truth, and the light. Well, Herb, if you want to take that experience on, that's just fine. But remember, though that experience is seemingly beneficial, what you're doing is you're taking away the right of each individual to be themselves and have fun and to walk their path as they see fit. But God, shouldn't I go and be the way, the truth, and the light like Jesus was? Wasn't he a good guy? Didn't he do good stuff? Oh, he did good stuff. He was a good guy. But he played his game. And he played his game, seemingly not as successful as he might have. What sort of response would you think, Herb? What sort of response would you think would come if you carried on the experience of Jesus with the way, the truth, and the life for humanity? What sort of things do you think would happen? Well, if I were the way, the truth, and the life, I would be a role model. I'd be living the way, the truth, and the life as I understand it, and allow people to see me living it and then take me as a role model if they wish and make those changes in their life that'll bring them happiness and truth. Yeah? You know, Herb, that's what most humans think. They want to go out and help their neighbor. They want to go out and show them the way. They want to go and be the way shower. And that really is a great joke. Joke? God, why do you say joke? That's serious stuff. No, that's a joke. Because the number of people whose lives they could touch are very tiny. The number of people who would continue with what they did are very tiny. Look at Jesus and his disciples. He had all these disciples, and they were with him. And they followed him, and yet they asked mundane and stupid questions. who's going to sit on this side in the kingdom of heaven, and who's going to be with you, and who's going to do this? Ask all those questions which come out of the Old Testament theologies, and in asking those questions, they weren't thinking about what Jesus was teaching. They didn't think about his words. They didn't think about his parables. They just were thinking about where they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And here he was training them to go out and be fishers of men. And what did they do? They were just looking for themselves. And that's fine. That's fine. But they were to be trained to be leaders, to be examples. And only 50 years and more after the experience of this man on earth did they write about it and write it down. How strange. You'd think that'd be so exciting they'd want to write it down right away. Of course, people not knowing how to write or how to read was not much of an incentive to write, that's true. But how could he have done it better? What do you think, Herb? How could the whole show have been done a little better? Well, what's the most powerful thing in the world? What's the most powerful tool that humanity has to use for enjoying their life and being divine? Well, God, that's tough. The most powerful tool that humanity has. I think about it, and the only thing I can think about, and the only thing that comes to my mind, is his thought. Man's thought. That's correct. Man's thought is the most powerful tool that he has to accomplish anything he chooses to accomplish. But God, that could be a long drawn out thing. Well, any other way could be long drawn out too. What do you want to accomplish with your thought, Herb? What would you like to accomplish with war or with manipulation or control? What would you like to accomplish to be a benefit to the world or whatever you want to do? What would you like to accomplish? Well, I guess first thing I'd like to accomplish is peace on earth. Peace on earth, peace among men. Peace for all humanity. Peace in the animal kingdom. Peace in the human kingdom. Peace throughout. Well, Herb, you just made the first step. The first step, what do you mean? Well, the first step is you would like to see peace on earth. Now, Herb, what is the second step? And there are two steps. Well, the first step, you want to see peace on earth. And the second step is what? Come on, Herb, you know the second step. Yeah. The second step is, I say, there now is peace on earth. And it began with me. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. I speak these words, I think these thoughts, and it is done. So you think it's that simple, huh? Yeah, well, God, didn't you just say that was it? Oh, yes. But there's one other little thing you have to do. And if you don't do this one other little thing, anything else that you do is of no account. Well, what is that, God? Well, this one other little thing that you do is that you say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me, and believe it. Act as though it's so. Live in the consciousness that it is so. As you consider any worldly event or any worldly activity, see it peace and know that it's peace, and it is then peace. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. This is where it starts, this is where it stops, this is what it's all about. But God, that's pretty heavy. That's a pretty heavy responsibility to put on me, and to have me think that there now is peace on earth, and then have there be peace on earth. My goodness sake. My goodness sakes, that's just overwhelming. Yes? Yes, it's overwhelming. But remember, according to Bible lore, they have me speaking my word and bringing forth out of the nothingness the universe. Bring forth out of the nothingness the earth, and putting on earth humanity, and having mankind be a free spirit, and creating all these things just by thinking my thought, just by speaking my word. And this is exactly what I expect of my creation, to think their thought and speak their word and bring forth whatever it is that delights them. Well, God, I still think that it might take a long time to do that. It might take quite a while to bring that out. Well, why do you think it's going to take a long time, Herb? Well, because it's so big. It's all over the world. It's all over every single country and every man, woman, and child on the world. And they're getting more people on earth all the time. And more that have to be reached. And we don't have enough television. We don't have enough radios. We don't have enough media to reach out and touch these people. Oh, you have the media to reach out and touch the people, but it touches the people in a different way. Your media reaches out very beautifully and does a good job, but you have a media that far exceeds the physical media. You have a media that far exceeds anything that mankind has ever thought about. Oh, I suppose you're going to say, to think about, huh? That's right. You have a media of thought, which you can think for your community, for your city, for your country, for your nation, for your family, for your friends, for your work, for anyone and all. And that's why you say there's peace on earth and it began with me. That's why you make these statements about anything in the world, and the power of your word coming through your mind and heart and voice goes out and touches people. And in touching people, it brings them in harmony with all that is good and beautiful. It brings them into the way of truth and the way of light. The way of the truth and the light. This is so spectacular, so rewarding, and so powerful. But who's going to do it? The person or persons who know that by putting the cause in motion, results happen. And for us, when we put the cause in motion, results happen. When we realize that we are in charge of our life, and we put the cause in motion, and we say, there is now peace on earth, and it began with me. We say, all the world is harmonious. The world is a wonderful place of harmony for all humanity, all life. The world is harmonious. All is harmonious. All is beautiful. All is good. And as we say that, so it is. As we say that, so it is. And we have put the cause in motion for it in a beautiful, wonderful way. Are you ready for such a thing? Are you ready, Herb? Oh, I'm ready, but God, that's a big task. No, Herb, it is a small task. It's just simply a matter of saying, there now is peace on earth and it began with me. There now is peace on earth and it began with me. Love that chant. Love that wonderful vibration that comes from saying those words. Love the people on earth unconditionally. Look at what each is doing and see it with unconditional love, with no judgment, just a feeling of admiration and delight in whatever is happening. Well, even the bad things are happening, I should have admiration and delight for? Well, if you have admiration and delight for the people who are involved, pretty soon what you call bad things will cease to be happening. You have the greatest power in the world through your thought. And you can speak your word. You can think your thought, but mainly speak your word and bring forth something utterly amazing. Bring forth something utterly spectacular. All just by your choice. But what you choose to do and how you choose to do it. These are the things that make our world go round. These are the things that set us free. Are you willing to be one of those who is set free? I have a feeling that all of you here are here for healing needs, and if you wish, you can say, I am whole and perfect now. I am whole and perfect now. And believe this and know this about yourself and experience it in every area of your being. Because this is what it means when you're talking to God. This is what it means to me when I'm talking to God. When I talk to God, God answers. And God responds to me in my own vernacular, in my own way of speaking. And God reveals to me all the things that are helpful and joyous for me to know and be and do. And then I go that step further. And I take those affirmations, I take those statements into my home. And I put them on my tabletop or on the shelf. And then I make another copy of all of them to give out to dear friends. And I make as many copies as I can to give out. And as I do this, everyone is beautiful, is fulfilled, is rewarded, just as you are. But you have to make up your mind. Yeah. The genie says, what is your command, Master? What is your command? And I, as God, in you, as you, through you, say, what is your command? What is your command? And when you say what your command is, and you realize your command is already done, then you have truly completed it. You have truly made contact with the divine in you, and you now have that permanent connection, the permanent awareness of knowing that you are God, of knowing that you can speak your word and bring about the miracles of the universe in manners that you could never have imagined. You bring about the miracle of the universe, which is you right now, being totally fulfilled in every beautiful way. Know that, live this, and enjoy this. Now think these thoughts and let them flow in and through you. And as they flow in and through you, Watch how they come forth in your life as a dynamic, forceful, beautiful expression of everything that's good. And as you do that, as I do that, I feel so good because I know I am speaking directly with my divine self. My divine self is me, it's who I am, it's where I am, it's what I'm doing. But I have to take control of my relationship and say, yes, I give you carte blanche to be you in me, God. To be me in me, carte blanche. And it is done, and done beautifully. Now, I'd like each of you to meditate a little further on what you would say to God, to your creation, to your world, about who you are. Who are you in this wonderful world of activity? Who are you? And for what are you speaking your word? Are you saying, there is now peace on earth? Are you saying, I like me? Are you saying, my body is whole and perfect? Well, right now is the time to say it. Because right now, you have a few minutes to think about this very seriously and have your continued talk with God, your introspection with God, your divine knowingness of God in you, confirming what you say for yourself and what you say for your world. Enjoy these moments now.